Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning, and thank you all for looking so festive. I'm not the only one, so you all have made it easy to be red, white, and blue today, and you all look great. Please make sure you comment if you're joining us on Facebook, and we appreciate you for worshiping with us there. For anybody who doesn't know, make sure you don't forget about our 4th of July picnic down in the Family Life Center right after service. And because of that, of course, we will not be having choir practice or small groups or anything tonight. Spend time with your family or cook out or do fireworks or whatever it is you want to do to enjoy the 4th. But make sure that you come down and eat with us, and we always have a good time of fellowship and celebration of our nation. Immediately following that meal down in the Family Life Center, Mary would like to meet with anybody who will be working as part of VBS, anybody who's interested in helping at VBS, anybody tied to VBS, Mary will be meeting with you. And there is a revised list of the food items needed for the snacks for Vacation Bible School. Thank you to everybody who already brought some of those items. The list is shorter than it was last week, but there's still some things that are needed. Or you could see Arlene or Mary, either one, and give them money if you're not going to be able to make it to the store. And they will be glad to pick up those items for you. But we are needing those food items. If you sign up for something, we're needing them to be back here by Wednesday, July 12th. So not this upcoming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, so that we make sure we have everything together and are ready for Vacation Bible School. There will be a NDI meeting for those of you who are on the NDI Council this Wednesday at 5 p.m. Don't forget about that. I'm sure Samantha will send out a reminder this week. And then we will be having Super Summer Something this Wednesday night, 6 p.m. The Coffee Talk Sunday School class is in charge of that. We'll be having sub sandwiches and salads and desserts. So per the usual, there is a sign-up sheet out there for that, so we know how many people to plan for food. So please make sure that you sign up and let us know if you're going to be here for that. Continuing to have the open gym for walking on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. If you would like to come and walk, if it's pretty, it'll be outside. If it's like it was this last week, where it's either rainy or real hot, it will not be outside. So don't forget about that. Prayer time on Fridays. Doors are open at 9 for anybody who wants to come and pray. Stay as long as you want to, or as little as you need to, but come by and pray during that open time on Friday mornings. Thank you for everybody who gave money for Bread of Life this past month. Thank you all for that, and we appreciate the way you all continue to support Bread of Life, and I appreciate everything Jim and Karen do to make that happen. So let's see, what else do I have here? Oh, Gail will be on to me if I forget about this, because I told her I would mention it. Young at Heart are taking a trip to the Cumberland County Playhouse on August 11th. There's a sign-up sheet for that in the foyer. They will be seeing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. That is an evening showing at 7:30 p.m. And so there are quite a few names on the sign-up sheet, but please have your sign-up in by next Sunday the 9th so they know how many tickets to get and all that sort of thing. But if you have any questions about that, please see Gail Martin, and she'll be glad to answer those for you. All right. I think that is what I have for this morning. Thank you all for being here.
This morning we're going to sing a little medley of My Country, 'Tis of Thee with the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Please sing along with us if you know the words.
Thank you. We're grateful for those who have paid the sacrifice in order that we might be able to worship this morning. And we're so thankful for the opportunity that we have to celebrate what God has given to us and the freedoms that we enjoy. Kaylee Hodge is one of our teenagers, and Kaylee, from time to time, has written various essays. And I think last year she read an essay, or was it year before? She has read an essay before where she won first place, and she placed second in the Americanism essay contest, and she is coming to read to us an essay that she wrote about our flag. And Kaylee, come.
This is the essay that I wrote this year titled, What the American Flag Means. The American flag, Old Glory, standing tall and free, flying over American soil for 228 years, is the symbol of our beloved country. It is recognized from near and afar, and many lives have been lost defending it. The flag has represented America for over 200 years. It has been through many different versions to make it what it is today. However, despite the changes it has gone through, ever since the day it was flown, it has been the symbol of freedom and justice in America. The American flag is a piece of history. This simple piece of cloth shows the trials and victories this country has been through. The first unofficial American flag was the Grand Union, and it was raised in 1776 to celebrate the newly formed Continental Army. Then came the flag made by Betsy Ross that was adopted by Congress on June 14, 1777. The flag went through many more changes as the years went by. They changed the colors, added stars, added stripes, and more. Then finally, on July 4, 1960, the 50-star and 13-stripe flag was born. The American flag truly represents America. The red means valor and bravery, the white means purity, and the blue means vigilance, perseverance, and justice. The 50 stars represent the 50 states in the United States. The 13 stripes represent the 13 colonies. Overall, it stands for unity across the country. The American flag, to me, represents all the men and women who have sacrificed for our country. In today's world, people don't respect the flag as much as they should. Whether we like it or not, this flag is a reminder of the history of this country, the good and the bad. If we can learn to celebrate the good and learn from the bad, we will truly know what our flag really means.
Thank you, Kaylee. Let's stand together as you're able. Pastor Tyler's having some voice issues, and so we're going to, you got to deal with me this morning. How about that? You need to help me out. At the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and
Lord, we are so blessed this day to be able to come into thy house this day, O God, to worship you. O God, thank you for your blessings, O Lord, you've given us. For this nation, O God, we ask your touch upon us again. That, Lord, our hearts, O God, be craving and yearning for the truth of the gospel. That, Lord, lives will be transformed by the power of your word. Now, Lord, bless the message this day. Bless this church, O God. Continue to touch it. O God, help those who are sick. Bring healing upon those who are in need, O God, this day. Father, in all things be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And in just a few moments, we're going to look at verses 23 down through verse 25. Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 23 and going down through verse 25. I realize that what I'm about to say is going to date a whole lot of us, okay? I remember when I came into the Church of the Nazarene way back in the 80s, before some of our kids were even developing eyelids. You know, I remember when we handed out missionary books, you know? I remember when we had missionary books that we handed out, and there was a list out in the foyer there of the Russellville Church with everybody's name on it and all the books, and you had to get your name checked off or you were shamed. You know? And really, I guess until the last 10 years, or somewhere about the last 10 years, there were still books that you held in your hand when you wanted to read. And those books, they told all kinds of harrowing stories that our missionaries were facing. They told of the heartbreak that some of them went through. They told of the joy that they experienced as they were there on the mission field and how people came to know Jesus. Now, let's be honest. Some of them weren't written real well. But some of them, I'm telling you, you didn't want to put down because you wanted to find out what was going to happen. Some of them really kept you spellbound as you read. I remember one by Dennis Smelsenbach, and he told of the story, and we actually heard him tell this when he came to the Baton Rouge Church. He told of the story as he was walking down a path in the jungle in Africa behind his dad, and all of a sudden his dad stopped dead in the trail. He ran into his dad and asked his dad what he was doing, and his dad didn't say anything. And so he took a peek around his dad only to see that in the middle of the trail where they were about to go, there was a black mamba ready to take them on. I'm glad I don't live in Africa. I remember reading Timothy Smith's book called Unto Holiness, and I remember him talking about that there were missionaries who went to the foreign fields even before there was a Church of the Nazarene. Before the church actually came into existence, there were missionaries in India, there were missionaries in Africa, there were missionaries in South America. It is an amazing thing that we as a denomination, we were born with the missionary emphasis already in place. Praise God. I remember hearing and reading about missionaries who buried husbands and wives and children on the mission field. And nobody knew for months and months and months until the news got back to the United States what had even happened. I look at those people and I recall hearing people talk about the fact that as the missionaries, they really took up their cross and they began to follow Jesus wherever He wanted them to go. I remember my dad telling me that he was really afraid to answer the call to preach because he was afraid that if he said yes to God in that respect, that God wouldn't send him to Africa as a missionary. And that was not God's plan for my dad. But he had to say yes. Lord, even if it means going to deepest, darkest Africa, I'm willing and I'm ready to go. And he said it was at that point in time I felt released from God. But I knew that God was in control. I also remember that just last week I told you this. I found out a long time ago it's not usually the big go to Africa decision that is the problem. It's the everyday small steps forward that are more common. It is saying yes, Lord, to taking up the cross daily that is the problem. You know, we can read a whole lot about missionaries. We can read about pastors and laity who across the years who have told us that in order to be a disciple of Jesus, that we're going to have to take up our cross and follow after Him. I mean, it's wonderful that they did that. But I want to tell you this morning, their example, and even my own father's yes, was not, is not sufficient for William. Their example that you have read in some of those missionary books, their example is not sufficient for you. You and I, if we are going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, then you and I are going to have to take up our cross and follow after Jesus. And that's the title of the sermon this morning, Take Up Your Cross. Look at Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. Then He said to them all, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for Me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self or their own soul?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, we read those words, and I'll be honest with you, it really had not hit me until just this week. We read those words and we don't think too much about it. I mean, we know that they're important words that Jesus has just given us here. Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Me. We understand the importance of that, but I don't think that we realize what the crowd that day heard. I'd never thought of it before. I mean, when Jesus was talking to this group of people as they were there, He was talking to a group of people that the cross was a terrifying object of torture. It was a terrifying object of suffering. It was a terrifying place of execution. It was for them a place of death. Absolute, total, physical death. I mean, when Jesus begins to talk about carrying His cross, He understood that He was on His way to be crucified, but these people who were all around Him, they had really never thought of it in that way. And when Jesus makes this statement, the disciples in the depths of their hearts had to be terrified. I mean, probably in their minds, they may not have said it outwardly, but probably in their minds, they were probably saying, "Jesus, is this what You want from us?" I mean, these men,
had been taken from their work. They had been taken from their families. They had been taken from all these things. And Jesus is now saying to them, not only do I want you to leave your family, not only do I want you to leave your career, but I want you to take up a cross and follow after me. It's a whole different scenario. We have just moved from, yeah, I can leave my family, I can leave my career, you know, I didn't like fish anyway, to now, you're saying I'm going to have to die. Career death. I mean, you've got two completely different things that Jesus is talking about there. I mean, Jesus has just finished asking them who he is. Who do the people say I am? And of course, they immediately begin to talk about, well, you know, some of them say you're John the Baptist. Some of them say that you're Elijah. Some of them say that you're one of the prophets. And then he changes the question. About the time you think you got Jesus figured out, he does something different. And he changes the question. And he says to them, but who do you say that I am? Well, now, that's a completely different angle, isn't it? They were able to tell him real quick who they thought the people thought he was, or who the people were saying that he was. But now he wants to know who they think he is. Usually the only reason that Peter opened his mouth was to exchange feet. But on this occasion, he got it right. You are the Christ of God. You are the Christ of God. You are God's Messiah. And then Jesus proceeds to tell them what that now means, and he tells them what his destiny is, because he says there in verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And be killed. And then he adds, and on the third day be raised. They didn't focus on the third day be raised. They focused on that and be killed. I mean, these 12 had seen all the miracles that Jesus had done. He had seen them heal the sick. He had seen him touch lepers and the paralyzed, and he had seen all kinds of things. They had seen people raised from the dead. They understood that Jesus had authority over the waves, and because he had calmed the stormy seas, they had seen him speak to demons, and those demons leave a man, go into a whole herd of pigs, and the pigs run down and drown themselves. And here, he has just fed 5,000 people. This was not some ordinary person that they were following. Peter had it right. You are the Christ of God. And now this same man tells them, I'm going to be killed. And I want you to take up an object of torture. I want you to take up a place of execution. I want you to be rejected for me. It's no wonder that in just a few more verses, when you begin to look at this, that when he talks to somebody about following him, he says, my father's died and I want to go home and bury him first. Or, you know, I've got to go back and say goodbye to my family. I'm going to do that, and then I'll think about this thing of taking up a cross and following you. We talked about it last week, and I'm going to say it again today. We look at this and we come to the realization that Jesus says that discipleship, that following after him, has a cost. Being a disciple, it comes with a requirement. It comes with a reason. It comes with a reward, but it comes at a cost. And we need to understand that cost, and Jesus makes it perfectly clear. The first thing that he shows us is already on the screen. The first thing that he shows us is the requirements of discipleship. To be a disciple of Jesus requires a cross. Now please understand, social media has us in this mindset that if we want to follow somebody, all we've got to do is click follow. But Jesus said in verse 23, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus is basically saying that he is going to a cross, and if we're going to follow after him, then we're going to have to go to a cross too. That's not going to earn us our salvation. It's what Jesus did on the cross that allows us to be saved. But if we're going to follow him, then we're going to have to take up the cross. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, when Christ bids a man to follow him, he bids that man to come and die. The old hymn of the church says, there's no other way than to trust and obey. You see, we can't follow a crucified Savior without a cross of our own. A lot of people have this idea that yeah, we take up, Jesus takes up the cross and we follow after him. That wouldn't be anything but a parade, folks. When Jesus says take up the cross, he's not talking about him taking up his cross and us following him down the street. Jesus is talking about us taking up our instrument of death. And I'm not talking about physical death, okay? So let's get that out of the way. He says we're going to have to take up our cross and we're going to have to follow after him. You see, this is something that we each have. And I think for each of us, it's probably going to be a little different because some of us have different things in our life than other people have in our life. And there are those things that we're going to have to be either willing to lay down or pick up. And that is our cross. We don't like to talk about the cross. It's not one of those pleasant things. As one of the guys just a few minutes ago prayed, We would rather talk about grace. We would rather talk about mercy. But when we begin to talk about the cross, we look at it. It is an instrument of death, and it means that in our spirit, we're going to have to die out to ourselves. A song that we used to sing, not my will but thine. Not my will but thine. Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord, in me. Let thy spirit divine fill this being of mine. Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord, in me. I hate to admit this, but one day I caught myself singing, not thy will, but mine. I really did. And I thought, William, you're an idiot. But that's where a lot of us live. I mean, it really is. Jesus is going to the cross and we have to be willing to follow him. And that's what this is all about. Jesus says, deny ourselves, which means that this is a very humbling experience. We can't follow after Jesus and other things be first. Everything has to come behind following Jesus. It's not our will. It is his will that needs to be done in us. And Jesus said, now get this, he's not just talking about one trip to the altar or even two trips to the altar. You know, we believe in being saved and sanctified. We believe in two works of grace. But Jesus says even more than this because he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Whole new perspective. Whole new perspective. So it's not just on Sunday that we do it. It's not just on Wednesday that we... You see, this is everything. The Apostle Paul said, Romans 12:1, I urge you therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, that you offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You say, William, you quote that all the time. Yes, I quote it all the time because I need to remind myself on a daily basis that I have to offer myself to Him. And you have to offer yourself to Him. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You go on down to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, and there the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that he will never boast in anything else other than the cross. The cross is all we have to boast in because we could do nothing about our own self. We could do nothing about our own situation. And the requirements of discipleship means that we lay down everything and pick up the cross. Well, what is the reason? And please understand the requirement's not easy, but they're going to have to be met. It's not easy, but they're going to have to be met. Well, what is the reason for discipleship? I mean, we've just heard the requirements. What is the reason? You see, death in discipleship is the door to eternal life. Broad is the way, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Jesus says something interesting here, verse 25. He says that there's not anything else in this world that's worth our soul. Do you want to go to heaven? Oh my, let us now sing Just As I Am. We're going to try that again, okay? I'm giving you warning. Do you want to go to heaven? Whew, I thought we had our work cut out for us, I'm telling you. I've only talked to one person in my life that I was so blown out of the water when that happened. I've only talked to one person in my life that just said, no, I'm going to hell. I'm just that blunt. I think I've told you that before. The guy had never been trained with D. James Kennedy's, my mind just went blank. Somebody help me. Anyway, the guy didn't know that he was supposed to answer, yes, I want to go to heaven. Do you have the assurance in your heart that if you were to die tonight, heaven would be your home? And he said to me, I'm telling you, just as straight-faced, blunt as he could say it, no, I'm going to hell. And I said, well, you do know you don't have to. That's not part of the whole salvation plan either that you're supposed to have to say. And he said to me, yes, I know, but I'm going to hell. Just that blunt. Just that straight-faced. You see, I don't want to go to hell. We don't preach much about hell. We don't hear much about hell. But the Bible does say that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Okay? And you begin to think about this, and Jesus says, what are you going to give? For your soul, what good is it for us to gain everything in this world and yet lose our very self? We want to go to heaven. And there are a whole lot of people who are enjoying life, and I'm telling you, I enjoy life. I enjoy the beauty that we get to enjoy here in East Tennessee. I love all that we get to see. I mean, Susie and I sat in our dining area the other night and watched three deer. Our neighbors feeding them. We're not. And as we were sitting there watching these deer eat, three skunks came out from under her air conditioning unit too. Now that was a blessing. I mean, I love to see all this. The other day, I was coming to the office, and as I'm coming to the office, there's a doe and two twins, fawns that still had their spots. They were gorgeous, and I got to see an owl the other night. I'm telling you, I enjoy living. But when I read what the foundations of heaven are made out of, it's going to be like living in a dump compared to heaven. the things that we count so valuable are what's in the foundation of heaven. If you don't believe it, go read it. That's what it says. I mean, the beauty of heaven, all that is there, I can't even begin to imagine. Being a disciple means that I get to go to heaven. But sometimes there's a problem. Sometimes there's a problem. Our kids, as they were growing up, loved a book. It was a Sesame Street book. It's published in 1971. I went and looked all this up so I'd make sure that what I was telling you was right. It was called The Monster at the End of the Book. Do any of y'all remember that? I'm seeing some heads being nodded. Yeah. It was The Monster at the End of the Book. It starred Grover. He was the blue monster. Skinny monster. My favorite of all the monsters on Sesame Street. I mean, And Grover, at the beginning of the book, finds out that there's a monster at the end of the book, and he does everything as you're reading it, and you begin to turn the pages. He really gets upset when you turn the page, and you know, you go through all of this whole story, and I'm about to ruin it for some of you, you know, but when you get to the end of the book, and you turn the page, it says, "And here I am, lovable Grover. I am the monster at the end of the book." Well, everybody's happy because Grover's the monster at the end of the book. But at the end of the day, some days, the monster that I see is not Grover at the end of the book. The monster that I see in the mirror is me. And the monster that you see at the end of the day, or maybe not even at the end of the day, at some point in time in the day, the monster that you see is you. It's not necessarily all these other people that I have so much problem with. But there are times in my life that the cross gets a little heavy and we want to lay it down, don't we? It's not what discipleship is all about. If we want to go to heaven, and I just don't want to go by myself. Amen? I want to take some other people with me. Because you see, everything that I earn in this life, when I leave here, Susie and the girls are going to spend it. I love my pickup. It ain't going with me. The only thing that I'm going to be able to take with me to heaven are people who I have influenced and who I've helped to win. What good is it going to for me to gain everything else that's out here and yet go to heaven alone? I don't understand that in our mentality, how that we think, well, I'm going to get to heaven. One of these days I'm going to fly off to heaven. You might not if you don't take somebody with you. Oh, you didn't expect that, did you? We are called to be His disciples. We are called to be His witnesses. Sometimes we are our own worst monster. And God is the one who wants to give us eternal life. And we need to do everything that we can do to get there. And in this process, take as many people with us as we can. You see, that is the real reason for discipleship. The real reason for discipleship is not just to absorb a lot of facts about the Bible. I will never forget him sitting in my office telling me, "I know all of these things about the Bible." He was the top quizzer for that region. He said, "I know all of these things about the Bible, but the knowledge has never got from here to here." We're not being discipled just so we'll know a lot of stuff. We're being discipled so that we can take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. That's the reason for discipleship. Well, what are the rewards? And I've already mentioned one. What's the reward for following Jesus, for taking up our cross? You see, first comes the cross and then the crown. You don't get the crown without the cross. That was said in prayer this morning too. You see, Jesus, you go on down to verse 26. If any man is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. We're part of a kingdom, folks. We say the words, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Please understand, his kingdom came in Jesus. And it continues to grow. But part of being in this kingdom means that we deny ourselves, that we take up our cross, that we follow him. You see, the cross is part of the reward, and that sounds so crazy, but unless you endure, unless you carry the cross, you're not going to ever really you're not ever really going to appreciate the reward. I told you last week about the young lady who had the BMW Spider, and I told my daughter, I said, she will never appreciate anything that she has. Her husband will never be able to satisfy her. Never. And folks, without carrying the cross, we will never appreciate the reward. We'll never appreciate the crown. And the crowns aren't for us. The crowns will be cast at the feet of Jesus. You probably heard of Jim Elliot. He and five other men died in the late 50s in Ecuador trying to spread the gospel to a jungle tribe there. And it is amazing thing to read that story and to learn about what they did. And Jim Elliot said that we need to live to the hilt every situation you believe to be in the will of God. I have a good time as a Christian. I do. I like to kid. Sometimes I kid unmercifully. I understand that. God gave us humor, didn't he? I mean, I'm looking at you, so he had to eat thing. I mean, you're looking at me. And you know the thing about it? I remember what I do. Well, I don't remember so much anymore, but I do remember most of what I do and what I did. Oh, my goodness. The rewards of following Jesus. I'm going to say this. Listen to the whole sentence before you cut me off, or you're going to go out of here thinking I said something I didn't say. Okay? Even if there is not a heaven, the rewards of living for Jesus now are worth it. There is a heaven. There is a heaven. But the rewards of knowing that when I don't know what to do, that there is one who does. The rewards of knowing that when I don't have the words to say, when about all I can say is, oh God. The Word tells us that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for me in groans that I can't even begin to conceive or utter. Because He knows the mind of the Father and is able to pray in accordance with the will of the Father. To know that taking up the cross may mean leaving family far behind, but knowing that Jesus said that when I go, there will be fathers and mothers and houses and lands there that I had never dreamed about. That's part of it. That's the way He works. But we have to be willing to take up the cross. We have to be willing to reach out to those that may not like us, or that we may even consider enemies, for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. That's part of the reward, is taking somebody with us. It is sacrificing ourselves for the sake of the one that sacrificed all for me. Conclusion. Take up your cross. Well, that's quite a statement, isn't it? I mean, we look at it and, oh, take up your cross. Those people that day looked at it and went, oh my goodness. What is he saying? What is he asking? I've already left home. I've already left family, and he's wanting me to die now.
And my answer to that is yes. He's asking you to die. To die out to yourself. To die out to your will. To die out to all that you call your own. Because ultimately it's not yours anyway. He's calling us to die. You see, He gives us the requirements, He gives us the reasons, and He gives us the rewards. And the question that I have for you this morning is, are you willing? He's not going to make you. He's not holding a gun to anybody's head saying, you got to do this. He's saying, I want you to. I want you, because you love me, to be willing to lay everything else aside and follow after me. You see, it's important. It's important that we accept Jesus as our Savior. But that's not the end of the story. It's even more important that we accept Him as Lord. A Lord that is asking us to pick up our cross and follow Him. We talked about the cost last week. Today we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of what that cost pays for, so to speak. We don't earn our salvation. Jesus paid it all. But because He paid the price, we want to follow Him. We want to live for Him. Are you willing this morning? Are you willing to take up the cross? Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. In just a few moments, we're going to have all of our kids that are going to NYC to come and stand here in front of the altar. We're going to pray for them. But maybe before we do that, there are some adults or maybe some teens or maybe even some children that you need to come and bow here this morning and just say, Lord Jesus, I find myself sometimes as the monster at the end of my day and I need to follow after you. Or maybe He's been talking to you about taking up your cross and going somewhere or doing something that maybe you've just refused to do. I don't know. And maybe you need to come and bow here. Maybe you just need to come this morning and renew a commitment that you made a long time ago and just tell Jesus it's still valid. I still mean it. I'm following you, irregardless of where you lead. I'm going with you. I don't know what you need to pray about this morning. But maybe you just need to come and bow here in this altar. And just talk to the Father. She's going to play it through one time, maybe twice. And then we're going to pray with our teens. Do you need to pray this morning? Do you need to talk to Jesus today? You have called me. I will answer. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will.
going to sing it one more time.
Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer.
Ask the congregation to be seated. We're going to pray with our teens here in just a moment. We're going to pray with these who are here right now. On Tuesday morning, we're taking a group of kids to Nashville to catch an airplane. I sent a text to Keisha yesterday, and I said, have you seen the news? She said, no, what? I said, 50,000 flights this past week were canceled. They're flying. And we want to pray for that, but we want to pray for them. We want to pray that NYC will be a life-changing experience for them. Pray for those who are in leadership. Pray for those who will be with them. And just pray that God would touch and help them. Guys, y'all are standing back there. Come on up here. Some are not here this morning. But Justin, do you want to come and represent you and Keisha and Nicole? Nicole is going. And I told Tyler, I said, I want you to pray for them, but don't get rambunctious in your praying. Pastor Tyler, come and pray for these who are going to NYC.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this group of teens and leaders. God, we thank you for the way that you work in our lives. God, we thank you for this church that has given in major ways to be able, for these kids to be able to go to NYC. And so, Father, as they prepare in the days to come to gather their things and board a plane to head to Tampa, Florida for Nazarene Youth Conference, God, I pray that you would begin working in their lives even now. God, that they would encounter you in a real and mighty way, and that you would allow them to come back as changed people. God, I pray for safety as they're traveling, that you would keep your hand of protection over them. God, that you would lead and guide and direct in every step that they take along the way, and that you would make the way before them, and that you would prepare them for what's to come. God, I pray that you would help them to know that there is a God in heaven who loves them and a church family right here in Crossville, Tennessee, who is praying for them and wants nothing for the best for them. And so, Father, as we prepare to send them off to NYC, again, I pray your hand of protection. I pray that you would work in their lives and that we would see a change in our young people because of you. Father, I pray as we leave this place today that you would keep us safe. Lead us, guide us, and direct us in the days to come. And for what you do, we'll give you praise and honor and glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
I want all of you, wait just a second, I'm going to let you sit down. I want all of you who promised to pray for them from now until the 11th, I want you to raise your hand. Now, you're not just promising them, God sees it too. Pray for these kids as they go. Pray that the Lord would touch them and help them. Bless you guys. Y'all can go and be seated. We're going down to the fellowship hall, to the Family Life Center, for a time of fellowship and celebration. And there are hamburgers and hot dogs down there. And we're about to pray so that you can get started when you get there. That was a good time. Say amen, Eugene. But let me ask you to do something. Lots of hot dogs, lots of hamburgers. You can get a hamburger and a hot dog when you go through, but you can't get two hamburgers or two hot dogs. But if you just want one hamburger, that's great. If you just want one hot dog, that's great. But we want everybody to be able to enjoy it. And so you say, William, you do this all the time. Yeah, I know how Nazarenes eat. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together this morning. May you bless our teams as they go. Keep your hand on them. Bless those who will be leading them as they go. And keep your hand on them. Give them wisdom. And now, Father, I pray that as we go down to the Family Life Center to celebrate the gift that we enjoy as a country, the freedom that we enjoy, may you bless the food and the fellowship, and may we have a wonderful time in you. And we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. We'll see you then. Just a little bit.